Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jess.
Hi, June.
Today we're alone on this Zoom. And nobody's here. It's like when you are in class and the teacher hasn't shown up yet. Cody's not here.
Or they forgot, like, the sub. They didn't hire a sub. And you're like, what do we do? Do we just go crazy? I'm also in your closet, in your home.
I know, you're right upstairs.
Okay.
I love having you here.
I love being here. You know, it's like a 45 minute. I want the deep divers to know I'm at least an hour away. And I gladly take the drive. Gladly. A little pep in my step. Yep.
And I will say your commute from not just me, but like a lot of our friends.
All of them.
It doesn't seem to hold you back. And you don't really.
Nope.
What I appreciate about you is it never seems to factor in.
Never, because I would so much rather be with people than alone. I'll drive anywhere. I don't mind. Also, I'm from New Jersey. Like, the driving doesn't bother me. I spent most of my driving life like being almost rammed off the road by various members of the mafia. So it doesn't like this doesn't. This is a sometimes too. Like, I don't remember the drive. Like, I'm so checked out while driving. Like, it's a kind of a mental spa for me.
That's a little scary.
Yeah, it is scary. That's time blindness.
That's a bit concerning.
That's lost time.
No, I know. And I've had that too. That actually does freak me out. And I'll tell you what. So usually I'm listening to my murder stories in the car. You know, but I've gotten to a point where I'm like, I'm caught up on all the murders.
I know. Same with me and my life coaches. One. I got to find, like, luckily... There's lots of them out
there's
there.
There's a content drought.
Yeah, agreed.
But, you know, there's a content drought out there. And I was in the backlogs of Dateline. I was going way back. I was in the backlogs of, you know, 48 hours. And now I'm like, I'm all caught up. And some of these episodes I've listened to so long ago that I'm approaching them anew. You
Me
know,
too.
And I'm just re-listening.
I'm going back to when these life coaches were just working at Starbucks before they they're like, shout out to mom and dad for listening. Like, and I'm like, I'm so proud of them for how far they've come. I don't mind going back. The message is always the same.
Of course. And someone's always getting murdered, you know.
Listen, there has been some lovely DMs. Stories. There was one, and you probably missed it, but a mom was so over it that she strapped her kids in the back seat just so that they couldn't touch her. Went to the Starbucks drive-thru and threw on Deep Dive, and they said the toddler knows the theme song.
I need to see a video of that. That's the best thing I've ever heard.
And she said, like, you can take a break whenever you need to. If you need to strap them in and go to and just drink your coffee. They don't know they're not the wiser.
They don't know the difference. No, they're none the wiser. I know. That's one of my great regrets about the early, early years is that I stupidly thought, like, we got to go to classes and we got to go to museums on the weekends and we got to go to these places, like, I could have been watching TV with them toddling around. You know what? I'm sorry, but they were none the wiser that they were at a history museum.
Well, and I did spend all of my dates.
I know you did. I went to a lot of museums with you.
But you have to understand, like, that wasn't about the museum. It's a, it's like,
that was about,
it's about the ride. It's like, yeah, Hannah Montana. It's the, right. Like, that was about getting to those bologna sandwiches.
I understand.
And being with my friend. I don't parent alone. And I never will.
Yeah.
And that's why you always see me wherever you invite me on a weekend. Because I don't, Bibi doesn't want to be alone either. We want to be with the people. That's,
I love that.
That's just who we are. But yeah, June, I'm coming at you with very little energy. I got to be honest. So I'm hoping you can carry me.
Let me build you up.
Please.
Let me build you up. Let me carry you because I have a giant announcement to make.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is, today is the start of the new year.
Okay. Well, that's interesting today. Because on my drive over here, I thought to myself, I've gotten very clear and it's so clear and so scary. My goal for the year, I'm not even going to share it.
Okay.
Because I need to keep it like a little seedling to myself, but it's going to,
beautiful.
It's going to require a werewolf style transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to require tightening the belt straps and the boot straps.
Okay.
And it's going to require a leveling up, the height of which I have never done before.
Wow, this is thrilling.
But it's amazing to me that you said this is the start of the new year, because today on my dissociated drive over here, I was like, that's what I wanted to share on the podcast. Like, I've made the commitment to myself and I've got 1 year to do it.
I have really started to understand that January, it's a very, and I know I'm a Capricorn, my birthday is
tricky,
in January, but it's a tricky month.
it's
a tricky month.
Ooh, it's
and
tiring.
So is February.
Oof.
So is February.
Not to be dark, but a lot of people die in those months. Did you know that?
No, I know. No.
Like the most
I'm not, I don't know that,
croak.
But
they croak really? In February. Yes. I don't. Sorry, but that's just true.
Let's all know that and look alive out there.
Look alive. Exactly.
You know, be aware.
Literally, be alive out there.
Yes.
Be alive.
In February. So yes. I'm not, that's interesting. It's like, I didn't know that on an intellectual level, but my body knew that. You know, your body keeps score. My body has understood that. That it's really not until March when I'm coming up.
It's like all luteal. Like January and February is one gigantic luteal phase, but that's okay because a lot happens in the luteal phase.
Correct. So we are, obviously, we have our special Deep Dive Bitch Sesh event of the year. So there are major things happening. Don't get me wrong. But I want to acknowledge a name that this, especially January, since the new year hit, it's been a drag.
It has.
And it's been a big old drag.
It's been heavy, wet wool sweater.
Yes.
And I want to peel it off.
I want to peel it off too, baby. I really do.
Yeah.
I want to be in a tank and shorts and flip-flops, walking outside and feeling good.
I'm longing.
And it's crazy because we live in LA and there's so many months where I'm like, I can't take this sun. I can't take this heat, you know, and I'm so done with the cold. Like, it's crazy, Jess. I don't know what's happened to me.
You know, I haven't had heat.
It's freezing out.
You know, I haven't had heat.
You know, I was talking to, I can't believe I'm bringing these two up, but Jason Mantzoukas and Paul Scheer. We were talking about a movie. And I'm so sorry, Devers, for bringing their names into this podcast.
Sacred space.
But
okay.
We were in our sacred space. We were talking about this movie that takes place in Ireland. And the two leads, I was like, they don't have any chemistry. There's no sort of like sexual spark between the two of them. And I was like, but it's also so cold there and so damp. And they don't seem to have central heating. So I don't think I could, I don't care who the fuck was there in front of me. I don't think I could muster anything up to take off my clothes.
That's exactly right. Now, the Irish have had more children than most cultures. So they found a way.
If you really think about that, but maybe it was just to keep warm, you know, body heat. Because I am like, yeah. I feel so dead from the waist down and right now in these months.
Me too.
I do.
I texted a friend of ours and I said, I want you to host. I'm thinking about parties that I want hosted in August. That's what's like keeping me up at night. And she's been promising
to have a
Havana Nights party, which is
wonderful.
Something kind of Dirty Dancing themed. I'll bring a watermelon type of thing. And I'm ready to get loud, baby. Let's get loud. Music. Let's get loud. I'm ready for that. Like Christmas
okay,
is done.
So let me tell
Christmas is over. Okay, it's time to get
let
loud.
Let me tell you something. I am actually going to host the second annual Not Your Parents Dance Party, which is,
thank
I hosted
God.
One years ago,
thank
and so I'm going to have another one. And this is, of course, in honor of my parents, and I have done it before, hosted with my sisters. I'm going to do it again, and it's just a dance party.
It's the last time
we raise a little money
I've
for
danced.
A charity, and then that's it. Really, Jess?
Honestly, like, yeah, like, I don't know when that was. It was definitely pre-pandemic, but like, I need
it
to get
pre-pandemic.
Out. I need to like let it out on the floor, you know?
Okay. God, I gotcha.
Maybe this is, and you know, that is why we had so many like midwinter like festivals, was to keep people from, you know, going insane with the darkness. And I think actually we should be having a February. That's Carnival, right? Ooh, maybe it's Carnival themed. Well, no, you got to get through the tournament. If I hear you say one more time, I can't handle this till the tournament's over. I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to lose it.
But let me just tell you, because so I can't believe I'm going to reference fucking Jeff Bezos right now. But I did see a TikTok about his scheduling of his day. And I was curious about it because he said, now he's obviously running a company full of gazillions of people and whatever. But he was like, my job is to make 3 to 4 high level decisions a day.
Oof. Yeah, it's a lot of presh.
He's like, but everything else I'm not going to be working on. Now, the thing that I'm struggling with like the tournament is like, I would love to be just a high level thinker. And this is what happens sometimes at Chain Club too. Like, I'd love to just be high level, like, you know, but when you're building something, you're both doing high level decision making and like, how many glasses do we need to order for, you know what I mean? And who's purchasing the orange juice and running the merch table? And like, those
and how are people paying for merch? These are the details as you're building. You're absolutely right.
The details that like, I would love to not. And that's, I think, something I really struggle with, control issues, is like, I'd love to back off.
Well, who would do it?
But
though?
I don't,
we don't
have an
have
infrastructure.
Anybody. It's just
know, that's
us.
What I'm saying.
It's just us. And for some reason, you've let me off the hook.
When I keep on telling you, well, because not, I mean, I'm happy to give you things to do, Jess, but I really am. But I also am like, I want, it's sometimes it's easier to just be like, okay, I don't have an infrastructure, a team, an infrastructure. And so It's me and Anna Cecilia, and Sam Srinivasan. And so it's like, well, we, the three of us I know, can execute and have a shorthand. And so it's, but what I know I'm getting overwhelmed by right now, and why I keep on saying punt it till after the tournament, punt it till after the tournament, is because I actually don't have the brain space.
Yes.
To be both high level and in the details and in
nitty gritty
of execution.
The nitty grits. Yeah. And I think I remember, and I'm going to hold you to this, that one of your goals is to have more time for those big ideas, to carve out creative thinking time. Not to bring back all my life coaches that I listen to, but apparently a lot of them don't work more than 3 days on the nitty gritty. They leave like a Monday fully open for thinking about the business instead of working on the business.
On the business.
Okay.
Oh, and that's very interesting.
The other thing I wanted to say that I really appreciate about our duo, June, is that we really work separately. We really delegate in a way that I think a marriage would really work well. We're almost like a 1950s marriage where like one of us is taking care of the home and the children and the other one is at work. And when and you're at work, let's get rid. You come home, you expect certain things, right? Like a warm
the
meal,
house to look,
the house to look a certain way. You'd like the children to have their face washed, right? And I expect you to bring home the bacon.
The bacon.
Okay. I really like, and I will let you know certain things are going on with my projects, but you didn't, you don't want to know too much. And I really love that. But again, just like a 1950s housewife, I do have to have you approve certain purchases, you know, but you are giving me, I really know that like it's equal. Nobody's like, I'm doing too much. It's like, no, I feel like I'm so there are really big things happening for Deep Dive. Like, I hope everyone understands, like, this isn't a podcast. This is a lifestyle. Okay.
It's a movement.
It's a movement. Our shows will be experiences. I want to at some point have a travel arm of Deep Dive where people will go on Deep Dive trips, cruise ships. I mean, I want it all for us.
I do too.
Okay. I do too. Stationery, merch, videos. So like today I'm hiring somebody who may or may not have been my nanny at some point to shoot and edit our videos of the things we're up to. So those of you who
that's really exciting.
We're at
That's really
couldn't
exciting.
Be at pickleball can be with us at pickleball, right? After
really
the fact.
Exciting.
It's exciting. And I don't know how to never done that. But doesn't mean we
it's
can't
never
do
stopped
it.
Us before, sweetie.
Doesn't mean you can't, guys. Like, let's have some extraordinary goals and not know how we go about it. But let's just go about it and figure
and
it out.
What a wonderful time we're living in where I have to say, you know, I don't want to take this for granted, where we can have a library of resources at our fingertips with ye olde internet. Like there's really, it's really amazing that there is, that there's something sort of like democratized about that, where we can all learn. And I think that that's just swell.
It's wonderful.
I really
that's
do.
The beauty of the internet. Now, I made a really tragic decision where I bribed Bibi with something that I thought she would never get up the courage to do. So I didn't think payday was coming. And I said, if you do this thing, I will get you a tropical fish tank.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word.
And she did it. And don't you know, she did it that next day. Shocked us. So there I was at Petco. I bought a 20-gallon fish tank and many tropical plants. And I am now going to be the, you know, conservator, the owner of various species of tropical fish. Now, Dan said to me, this is the dumbest decision you have ever made. I don't stand by this. I stand against you. And that is all I needed to make it so that I will become a tropical fish enthusiast. I said, not one fish is going to die on my watch. Not one, just to prove him wrong.
I want to let you know that so many fish will die.
No, not a one.
Probably all of them.
But I'll keep replacing them. No one has to know.
When.
You saw Finding Nemo. They scoop them out of the ocean go to Petco. They're not very much money. I will replace them. Nobody will know.
I'm just going to let you know that I feel like it's hard because we had a time with tropical fish before we got Meatball. It was like, but I guess before the pandemic started, I was right there with you, which was like, we're getting fish. And we named one of the fish Santa. And, you know, we had fish. And one of them died. And then Paul was like, I'm taking this on. I almost want to have him on to talk about it. But it was...
So we are the same
person. He did so much research, Jessica.
I'm deep into it.
We spent, like, I think $600 on new tanks, on new things to go in there. He thought that they were bored. He got them a special thing.
You can't. Certain of them are enemies. You have to get a school.
Yes. One of them ate the other. Then he changed the water. Immediately upon changing the water, they all died again. So it was like to come home every day to a massacre. It was so upsetting for our family. You know, we couldn't keep these things alive. Then we moved. And it was like, okay, during the move, how do we keep the fish alive? And the fish are going to go. Well, we moved. They were plugged in whatever that thing was. That giant tank was plugged in the boys' room. All died. So it was just, it was devastating. Now, I'll also tell you that Casey, I'm trying to remember what those fish are called. There's a very special fish that does recognize faces. Let me see if I can find out the name. Okay. Angelfish.
Oh, I'd love to have some angelfish in the
Let me
the
just
mix.
Tell you, angelfish are a particularly bright species of fish that will learn to recognize their owner and will readily eat out of a person's hand.
Oh, my God.
Angelfish will often form lifelong connections with another angelfish, and the two will stay with each other every second of the day. So let me explain to you. So you got to talk to Casey about these angelfish because Casey...
I'm obsessed.
I picked her up to go out to dinner one night and I had heard about her angelfish and how, you know, I felt she was trying to tell me about him or her. I don't know them. And she was like holding back on how much joy she was getting from this angelfish and how it was bringing the whole family together. And then,
oh no, one of them died.
And she said she was on forums online with people who were talking about their angelfish. Uh-huh.
Yeah. She went deep.
And like how connected they were to this fish because they recognize you. Mm. They're a different breed.
I have to get one immediately. But it died.
And then it died.
And what did the spouse do? Freak out?
I don't think there were two. I think there was just one.
Maybe it died of loneliness.
But Casey was devastated. And I really had to say to myself in that car, like, honor her grief.
Yeah, don't laugh.
Like, don't laugh. Don't you fucking laugh, you little nasty bitch. Like, you nasty, nasty woman. Like, she's sad. But to talk to her about this fish was hard. It was hard.
But now we're in. We're in.
Yes.
And these bribes don't work. You understand, like saying, like, if I get you this, will you stay in your bed? Like they are trolling us. These children are trolling us. They know that the end game will never, like, once you get a 20-gallon tank in your room, nobody's going to carry it.
You've negotiated with a terrorist.
Yes.
You've negotiated with a terrorist.
And yet I keep going back to it. Ooh, but I got to keep them alive. I'm going to go deep. I'm going to go deep with these people. I made a lot of connections
to the people of Petco.
They said I could go to them for any questions.
I'm just going to tell you that once I accepted about myself, like I can't keep a plant alive. And it's like now, even if I do buy new plants, I'm like, I have like fully come to like sort of a Buddhist approach with them where I'm like, these will die. And your fish,
God, you're so
will
harsh.
Die.
No, now that you and
I know
Dan
it's harsh,
are against me.
But I actually
me,
am trying to, I'm not against you. I'm actually like, get them, but no, they'll
no,
die.
Then I want to do it even more. Thank you. What I say is, thank you for making my commitment to keeping these fish alive even more. And Lennon, I know you're listening and I know you don't support me. And thank you. To that, I say thank you.
Thank you, India.
Yeah.
Thank you, disillusionment.
So that's okay.
I mean, okay. You know, I love it. I do think fish are very calming.
Are they?
Go to the pediatrician's office.
Dead people, dead fish aren't.
Tank.
Dead fish are not calming. Dead fish are actually quite upsetting.
It's very upsetting. Now, I also remember, you have to know that my father was a fish person. We had a goldfish pond that he built with his own
like
hands.
A fucking dream.
In the backyard.
Great.
And then he welded a sculpture of a sort of welded out of copper. A sculpture of a man who was peeing into the pond where the man's, and so there was water kind of circulated, and the man's penis was a tiny piece of copper that water came out of. And then underneath that, he had put two silver Christmas balls.
Your dad is the MVP of life.
So that I grew up, and so my dad was always outside with the fish, always feeding the fish.
But were they coy? We coy? Once. Like they were getting larger and larger?
They were getting larger and larger, but then one vacation. I don't know who was supposed to come over to feed those fish. I don't know what happened.
That's great.
But he went outside. It was so upsetting, Jess. And there was one giant fish and then just carcasses. Carcassi?
Like just, he'd eaten until he was full.
Skeletons.
Well, my
he'd
mother
all
did
the other fish.
Yeah, my mother did the same thing.
He'd eaten all the other fish.
Sure. And there was just one left.
It was devastating. It was honestly, to me, still one of the most kind of horrifying sights I've ever seen. Mm. To see the other little fish heads and tails and skeletons. And then one giant one swimming around like a fat cat. It was so upsetting. It was like, oh my God.
Oh God. Who was the 12-year-old that just didn't show to feed it?
Oh.
Did he ever refill the pond? Or was it too devastating for him?
I'm trying to remember. I think we did refill it. And yeah, I think we did refill it.
Yeah, I know your dad will guide me.
I think it's still there. Yeah, I don't even want to talk about when I went back to the house, but you know, so I don't think I had the heart to go check my father's.
Oh no, I'm sure they filled.
Pond,
I'm sure those assholes filled
I'm
it up
sure
with cement just to like,
know,
just to
just
prove
to walk
a point
over it and dance on it. I know. I don't know what happened to it, but
I love that he did that, and that inspired
me
even more.
He was a fish
more.
Man,
so we're very connected. He and I can see that maybe he's guiding me. I'll keep you guys updated.
I'm excited for you. And I think, listen, anytime you bring life into the home, be it single cell or otherwise, you know.
Single cell. A single cell organism.
I think it's a happy thing.
Yeah. And if you just also kind of get a little detached about it, that it's like in nature, they're going to die.
Bingo.
You know, if you're neon tetras, you know.
All I'll say is like maybe wait till February ends because
that's when they croak the most.
That seems like that's when everything
it's tough.
Heads
it's
out.
A tough time.
All right, deep divers, we'll be right back with our very special guest. Jessica, we have a treat. I'm just excited for this conversation, and it's going to tap into a couple things we've been discussing already around ye old bod.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the lens with which our special guest approaches this is so important, and we are going to get into it all. Deep divers, Chrissy King is a writer, speaker, former strength coach, and educator with a passion for creating a diverse and inclusive wellness industry. She empowers individuals to stop shrinking, start taking up space, and use their energy to create their specific magic in the world. Chrissy's book, The Body Liberation Project, empowers readers to find personal body liberation and use our collective power to dismantle fat phobia and white supremacy in an effort to create a world in which individuals from all backgrounds can love themselves unapologetically, free of system oppression. Chrissy, welcome to the deep dive. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be able to be here and chat with you for a while.
You know, I want to start off with just asking you what body liberation means to you and how you've how you interpret that and look at those two words, because sometimes I think about those two words and they don't go together for me. So I'm curious. I would love you to just define it for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, when I'm talking about body liberation, I'm talking about like that feeling of actual freedom and peace in our bodies beyond just like that surface level, right? Not just, oh, I love my body. Oh, you know, some of the things that we hear talked about or spouted sometimes about, you know, oh, love your body, this and the other. For me, it's so much deeper than that. And it's also about really understanding that at our essence and our core, we're like so much more than our bodies. I know that sounds a little cliche, but really, when we think about it, or how I think about it, is that my body is really just a shell that's allowing me to have this human experience, right? And at the end of the day, it's not what makes me who I am. And that's not to say that there aren't real realities of living in a body, because there are, and we probably can get into some of that. But liberation is just that feeling of actual freedom where I don't necessarily look in the mirror every day and love everything I see, because that's also unrealistic. But I understand that my magic and who I am in the world is not dependent on this shell that I reside in, and that I was here for a particular purpose, and that has nothing to do with how I look, right? And for me, when I think about my body, I really believe that's the least interesting thing about me, right? Like at the end of my life, I don't want people to look back and be like, oh my God, remember that summer in 2000, she had those six-pack abs, just looks so great. Like, no, right? I want people to look back and think about the memories that we shared together, the laughs that we had, the amazing meals that we shared. Like, those are the things that really matter.
Wow. I'm thinking about how when I got diagnosed with ADHD and started working with a coach, she was like, I want to separate your brain from who you are. And when you make a mistake, it's like my brain made a mistake, but not me. I am still a good and whole person, no matter what my brain is up to. And it sounds very similar.
Yeah, I love that analogy. And it's so true. It's like, my body is the thing that but that's not who I am, right? And All of us are perfect and whole and amazing and magical simply because we exist, right? Like the fact that we exist makes us enough.
I also think it's interesting to talk about, you know, I will share that my own personal reaction to body positivity, I've met it with a bit of confusion because I don't, and you said it so well, this idea of like telling people or hearing the messaging of love your body and that all bodies are beautiful and all shapes and sizes are beautiful and love your body. And I actually do love my body, and I do enjoy being in it, and I do take pleasure. I find pleasure in the body, in my body, and that's my experience of it. Not always, but lots of times. But I'm also like always curious about the demand or the instruction to love your body, the call for it, as a collective, that's something we should all do. And I am very interested in your work around body neutrality and also calling all of us to think about, you know, standards of beauty and how who gets to even, I don't think any of us really actually get to meet that standard, but who gets to actually get the closest? What does a white supremacist culture, Eurocentric standards of beauty, you know, some of us, I dyed my hair blonde, some of us have blue eyes, get closer to it than others. And calling people to not just like love your body or be body positive, but to think critically about bodies in the world and standards of bodies, I find really actually empowering. And people like you, Chrissy, who are calling us all to think through how our bodies are disciplined, or who gets to be a standard and who doesn't. That call I find like to be so important, and I'm so appreciative of that work. I'm wondering if you could talk to us a bit about how you, Chrissy, came to it.
Yeah, you said so many important things. I'm like, where do I start? So, you know, I think starting with the body positivity piece, I think, you know, I have a lot of qualms with the body positivity space. The one positive thing I will say, though, is I think it has opened up the doors for a lot of us to start to think about our bodies in a different way, right? And talking about that piece of like, just love your body, it's like that advice. Although I think good intentionality can also be really harmful in a world where you might not see a body that looks like yours represented, like you talked about, as a standard of beauty. And then when you're seeing these blanket messages, or you're seeing people on social media, you know, posting pictures in their swimsuits saying, you know, body positive and just love yourself, when you're not feeling that way at all, it also can feel like this is another thing that I've just failed at. This is another thing I can't achieve. I can't even
why
be like,
can't I get positive?
Yeah. Yeah. Why can't I be positive about my body? And then the other thing that, you know, is so important, and I talk about this a lot in the book too, is that, you know, while I do hope we all unapologetically fall in love with ourselves, I think that is so important. And I go into why I think that matters. But I also always point out the fact that it doesn't really matter how much you love yourself. You can love yourself unapologetically. You can think you're the most beautiful person in the world. And you still live in a world in which there are standards of beauty. And just because you love yourself doesn't protect you from harm that you may experience because of your body,
right?
Even if you love it. Right. And so I think that's where body positivity really falls short sometimes, is because we're not talking about dismantling these systems that got us here in the first place. It's just saying, oh, the onus is on you. If you just love yourself better and love yourself more, then everything will be okay. And it's like, yes, I can feel better about myself, but that does not mean that I'm not going to experience harm in the world, right?
Well, there's, it ignores the systems in place, you know, the same way we tell women, just like figure out how to balance your lives, as opposed to like, let's figure out how the system is creating a world in which that's actually next to impossible.
Absolutely.
I the other day in my internet scrolling, my Instagram scrolling, somebody led me to Victoria's Secret website, and I'm like, I'm going to see what's up. And I used to have this idea in my head, this is so fucking crazy, that like you get the catalog, you know, somehow it would come to your house when you're little, and I'd be like, boy, these women seem to really be living their best life. They were always like après-ski, you know, and like all this stuff. Anyway, so I went to their website. I haven't been there in 10 years, and there were all different types of bodies trying on their underwear, and these women were owning this lingerie. And I will say every single one of them looked at the top of their game. And what it actually told me in that moment was, I can wear that. I could wear that even if my belly is stretched out from having a kid. Like, I'm allowed to not only wear that, but look fucking awesome in it. And I thought, what would that have been like if when I was 14, I was opening up a catalog and seeing that. So I actually have a lot of hope for my daughter. When I walk down the street now in a mall and I see, oh, look, they have a mannequin that looks like an actual woman's body showing me what their clothes look like. And they look great. So I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm sure Victoria's Secret, they've done terrible, terrible things for people's body image and the angels and all of that. But I just thought, wow, things have really come somewhat of a way forward. Do you feel encouraged by that kind of stuff?
It depends on the day. What I will say, yeah. I think that I agree that I feel like companies are making a more concerted effort now to show more representation. And I do think that's important because, again, when we're thinking about standards of beauty, which have traditionally been, you know, Eurocentric standards of beauty, very much tied in with white supremacy, not seeing yourself as a visual representation in the world is harmful for people.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important that we are now starting to see more representation. I think that I think it's great that companies are starting to think more intentionally about sizing, right? That they have sizing available in all different sizing and that they're size inclusive. I think that's important. And I think also, you know, unfortunately, a lot of these companies have done damage for, like,
yeah.
You know, like I said, as long as we can remember, right? And so I think that, you know, now and as I think consumers are becoming more, I think there's a culture of like accountability more than there has been in the past.
Mm, yeah.
People are kind of forced to make some of these changes, right? And so, you know, I say it depends on the day because I, in so many ways, feel like body talk has really improved so many of our relationships with our bodies. And then in the same vein, I go on TikTok and I see that everyone's talking about Ozempic and everyone's talking about buccal fat removal and all these other things. And so it's like, it's a toss up. I feel like we're making a lot of progress. Mm. And at the same time, I still see how we as a collective are so trapped in these narratives about thinner is better. And also what body's the in body right now, you know, the post did that article where they said heroin chic is back. And so it's like, you know, every time we're trying to make progress, I will also say that the industries are working against us just as hard. Because again, mm-hmm. If we really change our mindset, if we really decide that we have liberation in our bodies, we'll put industries out of business, right? Mm-hmm. And so as much as we're trying to make progress, they're still pushing that same messaging that we're not enough. Because the longer we believe we're not enough, we're going to spend our money to fix ourselves.
I see. Exactly. Like you won't feel like you need that matching set, that bra and panty set to be a beautiful woman. Like you may still buy it if you feel like I want that for myself, but you won't feel that you have to have it. And having to have it is what capitalism runs on, right?
I mean, yeah, I think so. And so it's a toss up, right? Because at the same vein, at any size, I think people should be able to go and see themselves because no matter what your body size is, your body is beautiful. And also bodies are designed to be all different shapes and sizes.
That's right.
And so when we're thinking about even, you know, standards of beauty, it's like we can look around in the world and we can see some people have brown hair, some people have blonde hair, blue eyes, brown eyes, tall, short, all these different genetic variations. But then when we think about bodies, all of a sudden, oh, no, thin is the only way to be. Mm. And the reality is that bodies are designed and created to be different shapes and sizes. If we all ate exactly the same and exercised exactly the same, we would still have different bodies. Mm.
And you've talked about this in your works. I'm citing you, but you know, this idea that we, you know, we love to tell people that, and it sort of masks our fat phobia that it's not healthy to be fat, to be bigger, to be a bigger body. We never hear the same about super thin people. And the heroin chic look, it is never, ever offered. Unless you are so severely anorexic, we don't apply that same, you know, false argument because you really can't tell someone's health.
Nope.
By looking at their size. You just simply can't.
You can't. And you're so right. Like, even thinking about that, it's like when we see, you know, again, this fat phobia is everywhere, right? But how many of us have ever saw someone that's in a thinner body eating all the things they want? And you say, oh my gosh, you're so lucky. I wish I could eat all of that and be your size, right? The thought is never like, oh, I'm concerned about your health because you're eating all this quote unquote junk food, right? But when we see a person in a larger body, then the argument is, oh, I'm worried about what you're eating because I'm worried about your health. And you're 100% right. Like, if we cannot look at someone's body and decide what their health status is, it's just not possible.
You just can't.
Yeah.
I also found, you know, that, and you, I think it was it, when I read what you wrote about this, about spending so much time trying to shrink, that made me go, uh-oh. Oh boy. Okay. You know, and it reminded me of, because my experience with thinness has definitely been trying to achieve that Eurocentric standard of beauty that, again, is not for white women. It's presented as though we can get there, even though, of course, we also know that we can't. But for so many other women, women of color, it's like, well, that they're not even included in that standard. Okay, so, but with another white woman in Brooklyn, and Jessica, you know this woman, Brooklyn Decker, I was working with her and we were on set together on Grace and Frankie, and someone said, came over to me and we were watching Brooklyn just do a scene or whatever. And someone on the set came over to me and said, "Don't you just hate her?
Oh, God.
Don't you just hate her?" And I said, no, no.
Nope, I don't.
No. And they said, "She just eats, she just can eat. Can you just believe how thin she is?" And so I felt so many things were happening in that moment, right? That I felt suddenly like, oh, I'm a different body. I'm not someone
that you hate.
This person just said,
I wish you hated me. I wish I was the subject of your hate.
No, but I'm not. I'm someone who you feel comfortable around because my body doesn't threaten you. And yet I'm like, I not only do I not hate that person, I love that person. And I love her body. But I'm now, you've pitted me against her. There's so many things happening in that moment, but it was also like I was forced into a moment of connection with another woman, or I think that's what she wanted from me, which was actually, and I think this is giving her the best of intentions in that moment, was to connect with me over a shared experience of we hate our bodies. We all can talk about it. It's like small talk.
It's small talk.
It's like, what's the weather outside? Yeah. Is it raining in LA? It's literally like, it's an easy, and it's actually a safe opener. That's what was interesting too, the safety in that moment.
And I think, you know, what you're both alluding to is like diet culture, right? Like diet culture has become so ingrained in our society that it is completely normalized, right? It's normal to say things like that. It's normal to say, you know, you're sitting around, like small talk, you're sitting around at a dinner party or whatever, you're having appetizers and you say, oh my God, this is going to go right to my hips. And like, everyone's like, oh my God, yes. Like, this is just...
I'm being bad, right?
I'm going to have to go work this off in the morning.
I'm a bad girl.
And no one even blinks an eye at it because it has become such a part of our culture that you're like, yes, that is acceptable. That is the way to connect and relate to people. And this shared desire for thinness is such a part of our society that, yeah, no one, that's normal conversation that is acceptable and accepted. But again, it's so harmful too, because it is keeping us all shrinking, obsessed, draining ourselves energetically for this desire and quest for thinness. I spent years and years of my life obsessing about my weight, and it was energetically draining. And I think back to those times, I didn't even have the energy to do other creative things because my life revolved around what am I eating? When am I going to work out? And how do I look?
Ugh. Yeah. One other thing that happened to me.
I'm sorry, Jessica, but I honestly think I don't think I'm even ready. Here's where I'm on my journey. I don't think I'm even ready to share just how much time and attention I put into it. I'd be too embarrassed.
And unfortunately, I think that's the story for a lot of us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't want you to feel embarrassed, because that's just like I say, that's my brain, not me. It's like, that's culture. That's not you. You grew up as a child.
Lots of this stuff operates without our consent.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
Because how do we start out as beautiful girls, little girls? We say, oh my God, I love this body so much. And then suddenly, and I will tell you, it starts so early, 8, 9 years old.
I will never forget.
I'm too big.
I will never forget. And I won't, you know, a member of my family, after one vacation, like camping, we were in the car and I think we were eating, you know, Wendy's or some sort of fast food. And I had ordered 2 hamburgers and a member of my family said, I want you to think about having that second one. And I still to this day, I point to that moment as like, that's when I was aware my body is a site or needs to be disciplined.
Controlled.
My body is, what does Roxane Gay talk about? Unruly, an unruly body, out of control body, you know? So I remember, I can pinpoint the moment where I was in the car. Let's talk about the project though. When you talk about, your book is called The Body Liberation Project. So take us through, Chrissy, what you talk about empowering women to kind of, to liberate from their bodies. What do we do? What is the project?
Yeah. So first of all, I just want to say, you know, what you just talked about, you know, something that I talk about in the book is like, we all have those moments, right? Where very young, defining moments when someone let us know that our body was the most important thing about us, right? That people were going to judge us for the way they look, that we should be careful about getting too big or gaining weight or thinking about what we eat. And that became our mission then, right? To make sure that we fit into the mold that we thought we were supposed to be. And so, you know, we're talking about unlearning all of these things. Like, that is a journey, right? The journey to body liberation, I talk about that all the time, is a journey because we have learned, not only have we learned, it's been it is constantly reinforced every single day, right? And we see it in media, especially, you know, like body image, and these are concepts that all, no matter what your identity is, everyone can deal with them. But I will say that this society is hyperfixated on women's bodies in particular, right? And how we talk about them. And so you talked earlier also about body neutrality. And so I think when we're thinking about the journey to body liberation, if you are in a place where you know, like I was a few years ago, where you are obsessed with your body. It's never, no matter how lean you get, you feel like it's not enough. You feel like there's always something else to fix. And then, you know, you start talking about, I want liberation. Well, that's a pretty, you know, that's the ways to go. So then I always say, like, working towards body neutrality as a first step is a beautiful place to be, right? Because you may not get to this place where you feel freedom in your body, but you can start to get to a place where you say, I respect my body, and I can look at my body and appreciate and respect it for what it is and have just neutral feelings about it. Maybe I don't like it. Maybe I don't love it. Maybe instead of saying anything, just, you know, disparaging about your body or disdainful, you can just say, this is my body today. My body deserves to have respect and compassion, regardless of the other feelings that I have. And working towards that as a first step, because yeah, liberation is a place that takes a lot of unlearning. And I always say, it's like decolonizing our minds about our bodies,
right?
Like actively decolonizing our minds. And not only that, actively decolonizing our minds about bodies, but also, you know, actively decolonizing and unlearning white supremacy in our lives, because fat phobia and white supremacy are tied hand in hand, right? Mm-hmm. And I go into that in the book about even this idea of fatness is a bad thing was linked back to slavery. Dr. Sabrina Strings has an amazing book called Fearing the Black Body, and she goes into more detail about that. So it's like, we have to really start to understand this is all programming, right? It's not our doing, but it's the air we breathe. And so it is intentional work to start to unlearn these narratives and to also start thinking about, and you alluded to this earlier, start to think about our bodies in relation to other bodies, right? Meaning that if I am struggling, think about someone with multiple intersecting identities, right? So someone who's Black and fat and trans and their experience in the world, right? If I'm struggling, then wow, what is that experience like? And starting to understand, you know, we work towards body liberation so we can have personal freedom, but also ultimately The end goal is collective liberation, right? Audre Lorde, I'm going to paraphrase her quote really bad, but none of us are free unless all of us are free. Mm-hmm. And so the reality is that when we dismantle systems of oppression, when we dismantle white supremacy, it frees all of us up collectively.
Yeah.
And that's how we really begin to change so that future generations don't have to deal with the same things that we've had to deal with.
Ah, oh, beautiful.
Beautiful, by the way. I have chills.
Yes.
What do you suggest, like, when June was in that moment where someone came over and said, don't you hate her? Or you're in that moment where someone's saying, oh, we're being so bad. Do you feel like what can we do on a day-to-day basis to try and dismantle that?
Yes. So I actually have like a section in the book where I give a few different pointers for this. And I think it really depends, right? And I say it depends because, I always go back to it also depends on this, you know, your own privilege in the world. So for example, if you are a person who is living in a marginalized body and you are constantly inundated with people making these comments around you, I would never put the onus on that person to educate every person every moment in those situations because that's their own emotional labor, right? Mm-hmm. So I give different examples of like, maybe you feel like you do have the resources, the energy and the time and you want to interrupt those moments, right? And not correct in like a condescending way, but just say, oh, well, even interrogate it compassionately, like, oh, why do you hate her? Right. And just flip that back on the person, because usually when you do that, people start to realize maybe I sound like an asshole right now. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't have to be I'm going to like educate you type of way. It could be as simple as like, what do you mean by that? Like, why do you hate her? But I also always say that those of us with more privilege in the world, and we're talking about wanting to be an ally or wanting to be a co-conspirator, I say we take those opportunities to share the knowledge and the resources that we have. Again, not in a way like you're being an asshole and you know, I have all the answers, but to really interrupt those conversations so that in those moments, not only do we take the opportunity to say something, but also hopefully we're shifting the mindset of someone just a little bit, right? It doesn't even mean they're going to walk away and feel like you were right, but maybe we just planted a seed. And so it's like, how can we start to plant those seeds with people in our lives on an ongoing basis? And I think when we're talking about anything, whether we're talking about body image or we're talking about, you know, dismantling white supremacy, the reality is that none of us are going to dismantle that probably in our lifetimes. Like, I'm not trying to be pessimistic here. I'm just being honest, right? So the goal is not like, how am I going to change this person's mind? The goal is like, how am I planting a seed that maybe they're going to keep thinking about it? Or maybe someone else is going to plant another seed. And I might not even see the harvest from this, but hopefully it's making a small shift in that person's mindset.
I love that. It's even like, you know, I'm always pushing my books on that I've read on people. But it's like, even to say like, oh, it's so interesting that you say that. You know, I just read this great book called The Body Liberation Project. And I was just thinking, and I think there's a really big difference between educating someone and like correcting them and coming from a place of like, well, I'm a mess, you're a mess, which is basically to say, I know I struggle with this.
Yes.
I wonder if you do too, because I bet instead of that person feeling like you've shamed them, for them to go, wow, God, I never thought about it that way. Like, I could use some liberation.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought up like referencing books, because that's exactly, but like, I just read this really interesting book and they were talking about this thing and the other, and it really made me think about X, Y, and Z. And that is the beautiful way to have that conversation with someone where you're exactly right. You don't come off like you're educating them and you have all the answers. You're like, oh, I'm actually working through some of these things myself. And I got this thought from this book and it really resonated with me.
Right. And you know, a place that I really experienced. So like, my whole life, I didn't think about my weight because I had the privilege of this body that had a very high metabolism. So I could eat whatever I wanted. And it was one of those, you know, and I was probably speaking about it in a way that was part of the problem, right? Then I was put into menopause at 38 because of breast cancer. And menopause, I didn't realize, makes you gain weight like overnight. The same amount of food you're putting in your body, you're gaining, it's like you're having four times the amount of food. And all of a sudden I gained, you know, within, I don't know, 6 months to a year, 20 pounds. And I was like, whoa, now I'm in this spot that is actually much earlier than the other women in my life. So now almost, seven years, my friends are starting to say, wow, something's happening to my body and I'm not feeling good about this. And I can hear them saying to themselves, there's something wrong with me. I'm working out and it's not coming off. And I'm like, oh, this is some fucking bullshit, right? Nobody talks about it. And you're also aging. So as a woman, you're grappling with all this feelings of like, am I still a sexual person in the world? And how do I feel about myself? And you're feeling bad about yourself. And it's all hormonal. And that's bullshit. So what I try to do now is say like, hey, just so you know, this isn't, again, not your brain. It's your, not you, it's your brain. Your body is going through changes and you don't have to hate yourself for that.
Yes. And what you're saying is why I always say too, bodies change, right?
Like bodies
we can't
change.
Get attached to this one version of our bodies body change. Because it's not going to stay the same from the time that we are born to the time we leave. We will have a million different iterations of this body, some that we expect and some that we don't. And so the longer, the sooner we can detach from my body needs to look a certain way, the easier the journey will be, because I can assure every single one of us listening to this, this body, this vessel that we're living in is going to change.
Hey, old is the goal and none of us get out of here alive.
Yes, exactly.
especially not in February, too.
Yes.
But by the way, Jess, what you're describing also is a body that was thrown into menopause to save your life.
Mm. That's right.
You know, so yeah. a body that gained weight and survived, you know, that weight helped you survive. And so back to that conversation about, you know, the sort of false equivalencies of and I have my own fat phobia to decolonize. And I am on my journey, not at the end, I'll tell you that much. But I can at least, I'm starting to recognize where all that is in myself. But I know that I've had those conversations both with myself and, you know, that it's a health issue or please. I mean, the number of women who I watched in my lifetime become nutritionists to mask raging eating disorders, who have, you know, hidden behind like, I've got the food allergies. And so I think there's a long history of like, oh, it's a health issue. It's health, just health, you know, and I'm not discounting that there are health issues, but to the instinct to want it to be that, to have to make it that, I think is so strong because of such deep, deep fat phobia that intersects with racism and so many other areas. And but I think I've fallen away from this, but where I want to get back to and which helped me start to like become liberated from my body is also my living in a body through grief and experiencing someone in my life die and suffer in their body for so long helped me love an alive body, functioning body, you know, truly a privileged body that is not suffering and pain, painless body is a body that I'm like very happy to have. And I'm not always in that place, but, you know, I've said it before to Jessica, but, you know, my body is also a product of my parents who I miss every day and was one of their pride and joys. Who the fuck am I to disparage and hate this body? What a absolute fuck you to my own legacy in the world. And so that piece has helped me because I feel that way about my own children. They're beautiful, beautiful bodies. That they are enjoying and that they are loving and that they are doing things with and experiencing the world with. But I have, as a mother, had to really check my own instincts of like, I will never say a bad word about my body in front of them.
It's hard to do, friend. That's hard to do.
And the food and the this and the that. So it's a journey. And sometimes I feel like it's better left to the next generation because they've got more space. And maybe I'm just fucked over here and I got to accept it. I do. Sometimes I think that I'm like, oh my God, these young people, they, I don't know what
this generation late for me.
You identify with, Chrissy, but I'm like,
I'm a millennial. You know,
okay, I'm Gen X. So like, I'd like to say I'm a millennial, but Jessica says I can't say it.
Born on the last minute before the bell tolls.
She says I'm the last millennial.
You're the last millennial. I'd like to see that movie.
But, you know, I sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know. It's the train already left the station. But
I don't, I but think, I don't would think say
it has.
No.
I don't think it has.
Chrissy,
and I think that's why
no.
we should. That no, I'm so excited about your
please
book,
don't June,
Project Verity,
June,
everyone.
I don't want you in charge of the Body Liberation Project because you're saying well, that a whole generation of us are fucked.
No.
The train has not left the station. But what I do think is really, you said so many things that are so important. I want to circle back to something you said, though, about how incredible our bodies are and how much they get us through, right? And I remember thinking about this, like, during the height of COVID and the following year, you know, everybody's body was looking a little bit different after COVID. But like, we were still here.
Yeah. We are still alive.
Our body got us through a really hard time, right? And it's like, our body
yes.
got
us
through
Oh, God,
really,
I love
really
that. Chrissy, I feel like crying. Yeah, my and body like, fucking yes. beat cancer.
But yeah, but like, it's like, and you're right, your body beat cancer, right? And it's like, it's hard sometimes to remember that, but we can come back to that moment. And be like, we're still here in this body, surviving and thriving. Like, how beautiful is that? Mm-hmm. And then I think about, you know, and I talk about this a little, like in 2019, my dad tragically passed away. And
I'm so sorry.
And you're like, that's life, right? But it's like in those moments, you're like, wow, I'm still here. And that's a beautiful thing. And so it's like when we're having these moments, if we can just take a step back and say, thank you, body, for keeping me alive. Thank you that I'm functioning. Like, that's a beautiful thing because life is short and we don't know how much time we have promised, right? And so I always feel like what a tragedy it would be to spend all of our moments thinking about being thinner and being prettier and being this and the other. And we just don't even know how much time we have. And each day is truly, it's a gift. It's like truly a gift. And then, of course, you have not missed, you know, it's not too late for any of us because the other thing is with, you know, our relationship with our bodies is like, it is a never-ending journey, you know, and it's just like, you don't just one day arrive and you're like, okay, now it's all fixed. No, it's like, we work on it day in and day out. Some days you wake up and you're like, wow, it's awesome. Sometimes you wake up and you're like, wow, I don't feel so great in my body today. That's humanity. That's the reality of being a human. And so we never give up. It's just like every day is a work in progress. And I say in the book too, that our relationship with ourselves, not just our bodies, but just with ourselves in general, is the most important relationship we could ever have because we are the only person that we spend every minute of every day with. And so it's like when we're having those moments where we're not feeling good or we're feeling down or we're feeling upset, it's like, how can I meet myself with the same kindness, compassion, tenderness, and care that I treat with all the people that I love in my life? Because I love myself, or my relationship with myself is just as important, if not more important than those relationships.
Chrissy, I feel like
you said everything there is to say.
You really did.
In this lifetime, you just said
you
it.
You just
all.
Said it. And I feel like I'm just so happy that whoever, whatever higher power picked you.
Oh, you're going to make me cry now.
No, it's so special because there's so many people who need to hear this message. That's I'm just like,
true.
You
wow.
are doing some
true.
Really important work.
It's
thank you.
True.
And you know what? I really want to say that. And seriously, I have tears in my eyes. And I want to say thank you so much because when I started writing this book, I'm a spiritual person. I don't ascribe to religion necessarily, but I'm a spiritual person. And I literally was like, asked my guides, my ancestors, I said, whatever I write in this book, I just hope that it touches someone's heart. If it touches one person's heart, I feel like I've done my work. And I really wanted the book to feel like a gift to the world.
Well, it just touched mine. And
my job is done
because right after cancer I was like, oh, this body, like, gotta get it in shape, I gotta fix it, and like your doctors are like, you better lose that weight, it's dangerous, and you're like, how can I, I'm trying, and I'm like eating a bunch of lentils, and you know, it's just like I want to say thank you to it and I want to love it every day. And it wasn't until today that hearing you talk that I was like, what am I doing? You know, so I just thank you so much. Thank you for doing this. I can't wait to read your book and I can't wait to talk about it with my daughter. And deep divers, please all go out and purchase this book and read it and talk about it with your kids and with your girlfriends, because this is special, you know?
It's very, very powerful. And this idea of finding personal freedom and collective freedom, and starting with personal, but striving for all of our collective freedom, because we do, when one of us gets more space around them, there's more space for all of us. And that is absolutely the truth. Thank you, Chrissy. And thank you to all who made you, and created the space for you to come through this way. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. This was such a beautiful conversation. And just thank you for sharing this time with me.
I want to ask you to tell our deep divers where they can purchase the book and where we can find you in all of the ways to follow your work. I was really taking some time with your Instagram yesterday and I just loved what I saw. We didn't even touch on social media and the toxicity of everything, but it was a wonderful place for me to spend time. So, but where can our deep divers find you, follow you, and amplify your work?
Yeah, absolutely. So on Instagram, it's I am Chrissy King. Same thing on TikTok and Twitter. My website is chrissyking.com. And you can purchase the book at chrissyking.com/book or anywhere books are sold.
Anywhere books are sold.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you, Chrissy, and Deep Divers. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
And Deep Divers, our Galentine's Day pickleball tournament is still very much so in full effect. We added a section, a special kind of nosebleed section.
Ooh, mommy.
And convinced, now will the fire marshals come? Who knows? But we did convince our wonderful location to make that happen for us. If you head to janeclub.com/pickleball, you can get the work friend tickets, which are going to give you access to this very, very special event. The official and exclusive ball sponsor of the Galentine's Day Pickleball Tournament is Franklin Sports. We're also sponsored by the amazing Lake Pajamas, our home, Earwolf, and OS First. Thank you so much to all of our sponsors for creating this incredible day for us. We are so excited. I can barely speak about it. I also want to quickly plug that the Jane Club is hosting an entire day of creativity and magic, to be quite honest. New Year, New Jane, our thesis this year is unleashing creativity. And so we're going to be drawing, collaging, writing. And if you head to janeclub.com, you can get a ticket to New Year, New Jane 2023. It's going to be a full day of creativity, janeclub.com. That's our virtual summit. And it's going to be on Saturday, February 4th at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Again, head to janeclub.com to get your ticket today. And if you use code JDR20X, you can get 20% off your tickets. I hope to see you there. I'm going to be hosting the event. We have Phoebe Robinson. We have Heidi Rose Robbins. It's going to be quite a day.
Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go diving deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Earwolf, Jessica St. Clair, and June Diane Raphael. Our producer is Anna Cecilia, and our executive producer is Cody Fisher. Our sound engineer is Veronica Simonetti.
You can listen to our full archive of episodes on Stitcher Premium. For a free one-month trial, use code DEEPDIVE. Special thanks to Anne Geddes for our cover art and Lennon Parham for her sweet vocals. And remember, the best way to support The Deep Dive is to rate and review.